Good evening. I hope everybody's doing well on this day. I want to thank everyone who made it a priority to come out. I know the weather can get kind of iffy, and I also know that, you know, as the first day of the week is preparing to draw to a close, there may be other things and concerns that we may turn our attention to. But I know we're going to do the best job we can to finish up glorifying God in spirit and in truth to make sure that we do not shortchange Him, the one who makes everything possible for us. If we do have any visitors in our midst, I want to let you know that you are indeed our honored guests. We thank you very much for coming here. If you do have any questions, please feel free to try to get those questions answered. Don't leave here without having your questions answered. Don't leave here without giving us an opportunity to meet you. One of our scripture references for today, if you'll turn to Exodus chapter 14. That's Exodus chapter 14. And once we finish Exodus chapter 14, we're going to notice Mark chapter 14. That's Mark chapter 14, and we'll start at the 32nd verse when we get to Mark chapter 14. However, again, we're going to start in Exodus chapter 14, and I'm going to start reading at verse number 10. And everybody get there. Exodus 14. I'm going to start reading at verse number 10. And the Bible reads, "As Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they became very frightened. So the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, 'Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, "Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians"? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness.' But Moses said to the people, 'Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent.' Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to go forward. As for you, lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the sons of Israel shall go through the midst of the sea on dry land.'" Now drop down to verse number 21. "Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord swept the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land. So the waters were divided. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me to heaven's open doors, so I can't feel at home in this world anymore. And yet, there are those amongst us who will not make heaven their home. There are those amongst us who are quite happy and content. In other words, they are already home. In the midst of turmoil and despair, they have decided to remain immovable, unflappable, and unwilling to take God at His word. How many of us are sitting here today can be counted in that same number? The number of disobedient and unbelieving souls that will not see God's face in peace." Now, if you'll go over to Mark chapter 14 for me. That's Mark 14. And we will start at verse number 32. And the Bible reads, "They came to a place named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, 'Sit here until I have prayed.' And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be very distressed and troubled. And he said to them, 'My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch.' And he went a little beyond them and fell to the ground and began to pray that if it were possible, the hour might pass him by. And he was saying, 'Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will.' And he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, 'Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.'" As we see from this second text, that Jesus was grieved to the point of death. He prayed that the cup be taken away from him if it was God's will. His spirit was willing, but he was clothed in weak flesh. So how did this situation turn out? Did he fold under the immense pressure or follow through? Philippians 2 and verse 8 says, "Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Jesus did not fold. Jesus followed through. What a great lesson and example for us as we run this spiritual race. We must be willing to do whatever it takes. In Revelation 2 and verse 10, the Bible reads, "Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." Our spirit must overpower our flesh if we're going to make it to heaven. We must be faithful until the end to receive the crown of life. Obedience is a fruit of faith and leads to eternal life. Disobedience is a fruit of unbelief and leads to death. Today, we are that congregation that is being led through the wilderness of this world. And just like the children of Israel were following their appointed leader, Moses, we as Christians follow one who is far greater than Moses, the one who was able to walk on water, feed more than 5,000 on one occasion, who called Lazarus from the grave, and who even said yes to the cross. Our high priest was able to enter in the most high place and offer up a one and for all sacrifice, that through his death, burial, and resurrection, we could inherit eternal life if what? If we do what he has commanded us to do, that is to love him as much as he loved us, by keeping his commandments and being obedient children, obedient as he was to his Father, obedient as he was unto death. Hebrews 3, verse 12 through 15 reads, "Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end, while it is said, 'Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart, as when they provoked me. And then verse 16 says, for who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? But to those who were disobedient. So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. And if we had a title for this lesson, it would be Today, If You Hear His Voice. For 40 years, the children of Israel wandered through the wilderness with the vivid pictures of how God delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh after hearing their cries for help and intervention. And even though God was just a conversation away, it was Moses who stood barefoot on holy ground as he talked to a burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. Ultimately, Moses himself was not able to enter into the promised land because of his own disobedience. How long have you been wandering in the wilderness of this world? What are the vivid memories that you're able to recall that this life has put you through? Aches, pains, sickness, and the deaths of friends and loved ones. Ups and downs, twisting you sideways and backwards, laid flat on your back, or even worse, flat on your face, so that you can't even lift your eyes toward heaven. What are the stories that nobody knows, that your voice has remained silent and will not even dare to speak on? And yet God knows all. If you'll turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. That's Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. And the Bible reads, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So even those things that we don't speak on, God already knows. Nothing can be hidden from him. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. There was a sacrifice made once and for all that reconciled us back to God and took away the enmity that was in place, removed the barrier that made us enemies of God. In Hebrews 10 and 14, Hebrews 10 and 14, the Bible says, for by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And in Romans 3:25, the Bible reads, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith, this was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God he passed over the sins previously committed. The sounds of sin can be deafening as lies are being told, brothers and sisters. You brought us out here to die. It would have been better had we stayed in Egypt. And in Exodus 14, 11 and 12, then they said to Moses, is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. What are some of the lies that we tell ourselves? My life was better before I obeyed the gospel. God doesn't love me. It is too hard to do what God wants me to do. I don't believe in God. In Psalms, it says, Psalms 14, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have committed abominable deeds. There is no one who does good. The problem is not being able to understand the difference between Moses and Jesus as I speak about these two individuals. Being able to figure out that one did not make it into the promised land, while one was raised from the dead and sits at the right hand of God. How one was sent to deliver a nation out of Egyptian captivity and bondage, while the other was able to free the world from Satan's captivity and the bondage of sin. But rather, it is the ability for us to see our similarities relative to unbelief, disobedience, and destination as those children of Israel, which is to die in our sins and not enter into God's place of rest, not enter into the eternal promised land with our crown of life. Today, if you hear his voice, don't be afraid of your past. Today, if you hear his voice, don't be afraid to ask for help. Today, if you hear his voice, don't be afraid to come out of your sins. Whether you are dying in your sins because you have never had them forgiven, or you have had them forgiven and have returned back to your sinful ways. Today, if you hear his voice, don't sit idly by while sin swirls around you without saying a word. But I know none of us find ourselves sitting in places where friends or relatives say things that they shouldn't say, using language that they shouldn't use, calling our God things that he is definitely not. And we sit there and say nothing. We have car keys, but we don't exercise that option to get in the vehicle and leave. I know we don't do anything like that. Today, if you hear his voice, stop blaming people, places, and things for your situation, but instead take up your cross daily with the knowledge that you are not alone as you go through this life. But I know none of us do those types of things. None of us have relationships that were once good in our eyes and then somewhere along the line turn sour, and we just can't seem to let those situations go. I know none of us have situations where we had conversations with members of the body and maybe something got said that we didn't like and we keep that grudge until this day, but I know that doesn't happen here. That's other congregations, I'm sure. What you get is not always what you see, but you have to walk by faith before your sight can see God at work in your life. I repeat that. What you get is not always what you see, but you have to walk by faith before your sight can see God at work in your life. Some of us, when we receive certain blessings, we are quick to point out how great a job we did, how intelligent we were, how excellent we handled ourselves when we politicked in the place of business to get whatever position that was. Needless to say, maybe a couple of months prior to that, maybe we were worried about getting rolled up, put out, sent home, suspended, not knowing how our bills are going to get paid. My, how things change. Faith is the victory. Faith binds our actions to the belief that God will deliver exactly what he said he will do. There was a time when the children of Israel were faced with a choice. So as they fled, following behind Moses, with the Egyptians and Pharaoh in tow behind them, they came to what appeared to be an immovable roadblock in front of them known as the Red Sea. Now, conventional human wisdom would be either sink or swim. But all of us, including myself, have been pushed to the brink. Over and over again, we are trying to decide whether to sink or swim. If you can't swim, then you will sink and drown. If you can swim, but there are sharks in the water, or since we're in Florida, alligators in the water, then you will be eaten alive. Thanks be to God that there was another answer which allowed the children of Israel to walk over on dry land. Conventional understanding and conventional wisdom had to be abandoned, and they did well until they came back to their quote-unquote senses. God doesn't expect you to be a fool for him. He expects for you to have a relationship that is based on understanding and obedience. His understanding of what you go through and have to deal with in this life, and your obedience to whatever his son says. A relationship that extends from this life to the life hereafter. Hebrews 4 and verse 15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin." So the next time you're tired, remember Jesus knows how it feels to be tired. The next time you feel alone, remember Jesus knows how it feels to be alone. When people talk about you, pretend like they don't know you or betray you, remember that Jesus knows how that feels too. Even when these acts are committed by the closest people to you, even the ones in your inner circle. Matthew 17 and verse 5 says, "While he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, 'This is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him.'" Here we have the Father saying, "Listen to Jesus." So what did Jesus say? And John, turn with me to John 14 and 15. I want us to take a quick look at these two things. Go to John 14, 15. And in John 14, 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Then drop down to verse 23. At verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our abode with him." The water was not the answer for the children of Israel at the Red Sea. And though the thirst for water got Moses in trouble when his anger was kindled against the people and he disobeyed God and struck the rock, water was the answer when God cleansed the world in the days of Noah. And water is the answer for us today to have our sins forgiven and will get us to heaven when we demonstrate obedience unto death. Today is the day of salvation. Either salvation gained or salvation maintained. Today is the day of salvation. So if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. If you hear his voice, which comes through the word of his son. Let's be clear on that. We're not talking about some voice out of the great beyond in the night saying, "Hello, do you know me? This is God." That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the inspired word of God that was written by holy men as the Holy Spirit moved them without their own personal interpretation. You can find that in 2 Peter 1. 20 and 21, which reads, "But know this first of all, that no prophecy or scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." If you hear his voice today, harden not your heart, but be moved to action. And being moved to action means if you've done the right thing, meaning you've obeyed that form of doctrine which is able to save your soul, known as the gospel, the good news, the death, the burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You were baptized in a watery grave of baptism. You should be on the highway of holiness, living faithful unto death. That's where you should be. Now, if you're not there and you stumbled and there's an issue, let's make that right tonight. Today is the day of salvation. If you have not obeyed the gospel, if you have not obeyed what I've just spoke about, the good news, the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if you hear that, if you believe that, and you are willing to repent of your sins, confess Christ, and be baptized, you too can be saved. You too can have your sins washed away. For today is the day of salvation. Don't let today go by. Be called to action. And before I extend the invitation to you all tonight, I just want you to know, just as that congregation of God's people had an opportunity when he sent Moses to get them, he sent Jesus for us. And it's from the right hand of God that Jesus is still able to lead us with his word. He's still able to, though he's there, he can still be here. He can move in and out of time to be where we need him to be. He may not come when we want him to, but he's always on time. So let's be mindful of that. Let's be a loving congregation, a congregation that goes to battle for one another, that goes to battle for right versus wrong. Let's be a congregation that's not wanting to stand out in front of one another and just draw attention to oneself. Let's, as a collective, try to do our best to do those things that glorify God and just leave it about Jesus and decrease ourselves so that we can increase him, if that is something that we are willing to do. What is the difference from that congregation then and this congregation now? That is a question that we individually have to answer, but will be held responsible for as individuals and collectively. Let's be that congregation that's set on a hill. Let's be that congregation that is willing to leave this life as we know it behind. Let's be those who are sojourning here. Let's be the ones who this world is not our home. We're just passing through. And our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. If you have any needs, please make them known as we stand and sing the invitational song.